Rona Bentley joins me. In fact, Rona, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
You can hear me okay. Rona, now you've arrived in Paris in the last couple of days, and I hope that the journey went well for you. And tell us why you're in Paris for the first, before we start talking about the book.
Well, I think it's really funny that a New Yorker is in Paris and a Londoner is in Spain, and they're all talking to each other. And it's great because music is global and universal, and unifying force. So that's pretty neat. I'm in Paris for the launch of the French edition of the Listen book, which has just been published by Rizzoli, and of which I'm very proud. It's the culmination of almost 20 years of work. And I'm very excited that Rizzoli agreed to make a book of this massive project. And I also have an exhibition at the Galerie Italienne on Rue du Louvre the following week. So it's a very exciting time for me after working so diligently and rigorously for such a long time.
It's certainly a tremendous way to launch any book, and I would imagine that you've been so busy, obviously, over the last few weeks, and when we spoke on our music talk meeting, I'll tell everybody about that in a little while. I remember everybody was sort of saying how great the book is, and I've had looks, I've managed to see all the images, and it's in America. It is these studios, these venues, these incredible venues across the country, even prisons, as you say, and parks. The whole idea for this book must have come from what had happened to CBGB's when it was closed in 2006, I understand.
Yes. So I'll back up a little bit. As an artist, all of my work, sort of the premise of my work is this idea of the parallels between photography and theater. Mm-hmm. Because in both, basically, we enter into a black space or a black box, and an image appears where in the camera it might be the lens, and in the theater it might be the stage, that is almost sort of a window or a porthole to the world outside the black box. And through these images, we learn something about the world, or we're guided in a way to see the world in a slightly different way than we might have otherwise. So I had been finishing a project about very classical theaters, and CB's announced that it was going to close after its long battle to stay alive.
Yeah.
And I was very, very lucky that Hilly Crystal and BG Hacker allowed me time to come in and to stand in that club empty the week that it was closing, and I was on hallowed ground. I mean, down in that club, first of all, empty, where it was never empty. There were always bands loading in, loading out. There was always something going on.
Yeah.
So I had 15 minutes in that space, and it was wild, you know? I could hear it. You could hear the echoes in the walls. You could feel the reverberations in the floor. And I made my work, and I thanked them and went and I printed the photograph. And to me, it was one of the best photographs I'd ever made. And I could hear the photograph. So the same emotion that I had standing in the space, I had looking at the photograph. And I thought, well, that's just me. That's just sentiment or some kind of emotion.
I can understand, because there's an incredible amount of energy from that place. I mean, I sort of saw where it was, and of course it's way past the time it had closed. Also, what Laura's told me about the place, as you well know, quite astonishing what went on there in the mid to late 70s and into the 80s, and of course also Max's Kansas City, which is another one of the main venues in that Soho district of New York. But you sort of thought, well, there are a lot of great recording studios and venues around the country. Why don't I go and take pictures of all of them and put them into a kind of, you know, study of this incredible phenomenon, which is American music?
Yeah, I mean, American, you know, it's kind of a little bit, it's American music. Because of CBGB's, I decided that it should be sort of limited from the time, sort of pre-Elvis to the Ramones.
Yeah.
You know, the Ramones, I figured, would close the book. And music changed after that. But
indeed.
You know, honestly, when I started this, I thought, you know, is it possible? Is this going to work? I don't even know. I thought, okay, it's going to be 50 venues and I'm done. And, you know, I ended up on the odyssey of a lifetime, 13 wow. years, over 400 venues, because the more you learn, the more you want to learn more, right? You
know, sure, you appeal, sure.
Right? And there's so many things that I didn't know about. I knew vaguely about the Chitlin circuit, and now I know so much more. And people send you to their memories. You know, people would look at the work and say, oh, my God, I heard so-and-so in this weird little place at the edge of Cleveland, mm-hmm. you know, and chasing that down. And, you know, yeah, I'm a little obsessive, and so I was the perfect target for that. But mm-hmm. It was the time of my life. It really was.
Well, it took up over a decade to put this together, and so it's a life's work, I suppose you could say, in many respects. Although you've done other things as well, but it was you were totally dedicated to it. Obviously,
I was obsessed. I mean, I was eating, breathing, sleeping. You know, my friends, bless them all. They put up with me through all of this. It was all I talked about.
Well, that's inevitable, I would imagine. I mean, the thing is that when you have a project of this magnitude, that anything else is just superfluous. You know, you just sort of get through the days, and you're concentrating on what you want to concentrate on, and whether you're talking, you're somebody maybe talking to, and I said, Rona, do you hear what he said? No, I'm trying to think of that kind of thing was going on. I imagine quite a lot.
Absolutely.
So, Absolutely. So when this when this sort of project started, as I said, I was looking at some comments here about the fact that you created the decision to write the book after that announcement of CBGB's going. But then of course in the book itself, you talk about these amazing recording studios and venues across America. I mean, Electric Lady Studios in New York, of course, famous. It was put together by Jimi Hendrix, and he managed to record, I think, a couple of songs, and then a few weeks later, he was dead.
Yeah.
But that name, Electric Lady Studios, has lived on, and it still is a huge presence in the music sort of Hall of Fame, I suppose you can say. And the one that I was very interested in was Fame Recording Studios, and which is now Muscle Shoals in Alabama. I mean, that place, I mean, the music that's come out of there is just phenomenal.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, it's near Muscle Shoals. Muscle Shoals Sound is a different building. It's a different... Yeah. Now I'm going to get confused. Was it the Swampers?
The Swampers, is it? The Swampers?
Yeah, right? The backing band that created Muscle Shoals and left Fame. But standing in Fame, I mean, Aretha, you know, it's... it was just... These are... It's a religious experience to stand in these rooms. Mm. And I'm so grateful to all of them for allowing me access.
Indeed.
You know, who was I to ask to be let in? And everybody was gracious and kind. And I love the photographs from Fame are two of my favorites.
They look great. I was about to ask you that very question, that obviously you were going to these places, you obviously wanted to have the opportunity to take fun, even if the places was now derelict, you wanted to get pictures of where things happened.
Absolutely. And I'm very conscious of the fact that I'm going into someone's, I don't want to say home, but it's a place that belongs to someone else. And even in the derelict venues, I tried to get permission from whoever was the holder of record. Mm-hmm. On, I would say, I don't know, 95%, I was allowed. Somehow I managed to, I mean, I was really chasing my tail sometimes, but I would do things. I would call the mayor's office and the electric company, and I chased a guy down the street once because I saw him coming out of the van. I jumped out of a moving car to chase the guy down the street because we were driving by to see if there was anybody at the venue, and I saw someone coming out, and we were stuck in traffic. So it was a respectful thing, you know. Yeah, I respect people who own these spaces, and if I'm asking them to help me, I need to be grateful and gracious about
Indeed,
it. And,
yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds as though you've got a story to tell about every photograph you've taken in this book.
Many.
Pick me out a couple that really, really sort of, as a background to putting it together, sort of reminds you of maybe the problems that existed or the fascination of actually finding a venue, which you did a lot of research for, and it took a lot. And when you finally got to it, it just blew you away.
One of the early venues, and I think this is probably where I was really bit by the bug, and I realized it wasn't going to be 50 venues, was the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., which had been shuttered. It's a major venue on the Chitlin Circuit, and it had been shuttered for years, and it was really derelict, and there had been a fire, and the roof had caved in, and I was determined to get access to this theater, and I really did. I harassed the mayor of Washington, D.C. and I think either I just wouldn't leave him alone and he got tired of me, or in the interim, someone had bought the building. And I'm sorry, I'm in Paris without my notes. The new owner of the building was very kind, and he said, all right, you can do this.
Great.
And a release for my safety. And, you know, the building was totally padlocked and fenced off. And he met me there. He told me there was no electricity. I came. I usually don't work with lights. Everywhere I went, it was natural light or whatever was available to me. Now, on rare occasions, I would bring lights that with a generator on some of these abandoned buildings. But in this case, he had told me that there was a bar across the street that I could plug into their generator. So here I am with these two rinky-dink lights and the longest extension cord I could find at Home Depot. And we go in there. I have tarps for all the equipment because he told me it was, you know, a mess. And my assistant is Gary, is running out the front door with the extension cord across the street. We were duct taping the extension cord to the street itself.
Wow.
Into the adjacent building, downstairs, plugging it in, comes back up that it's plugged in, turn on the lights, and I start going. And I was in there, I don't know, probably for an hour or two. And in the meantime, I had no idea this was going on. A crowd had assembled because they had this thing on. And the police came.
Of course.
There was a whole to-do going on. I was unaware of it all. Gary was outside trying to do something, you know, keep everybody away. And by the time I was finished, they were all gone. So I never saw it. But, you know, the dressing room walls behind the stage, Ella Fitzgerald, Ray Charles, Duke Ellington, you know, it was mind-blowing.
Astonishing.
So, yeah.
And you really must have come away from that thinking, that was worth every moment of energy that I put into it to get those pictures.
I came away from there knowing that was why I became a photographer.
Well done. That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you can understand because doing any kind of photography, and I mean, I tell you that Laura and I have been taking pictures around Estepona of trees, and because they've been doing this reconstruction work in the main Avenida de España, those are people who live around here know about it, and they have trees on the ground, and we've been taking these pictures and making them black and white, and we're really into the black and white sort of look of the images of around town. And I was sitting in a cafe and I was looking up and I saw this tree, and it sort of kind of fitted into the buildings, and I took a picture and I framed it.
Yeah,
actually framed
sure.
it.
You can spend your life photographing one tree.
Yeah.
And you'll always discover something, from the leaves to the branches to the roots. There's so much out there to discover if you just stop and look.
Absolutely. If you've just joined us, we're talking with Rona Brittner, who's written amazing. Well, she's not written. She's written and she's photographed.
Well, I haven't written. I didn't write. There's only one sentence of mine in that book.
Really? Okay. It's the photography we're talking about here. The book is called Listen. And, well, Rona, you're in Paris. You're obviously sort of doing the launches there. You've got this exhibition of your photography. Have you given any thought just at this moment to say, have you any thought to maybe doing another country's musical history like the United Kingdom? But I would imagine a lot of the places that you think might be there are no longer there. It wouldn't take you 13 years, but I can think of a few places that are worth going to see, but not as many as you have in the United States, that's for sure.
Well, you never know, first of all, but I'm sure there are more than you even think so, because the more you dig, the more you find. But no, I limit it to that. It's my history. I'm an American. So
absolutely. Yes.
I thought, you know, okay, that's the beginning and the end of it, and someone else might pick it up.
Well, I spoke to a friend, and well, actually became a friend through our sort of meetings that we have on a weekend, which was started during the pandemic, a Zoom meeting to take place across the United States. There's photographers like Rona's join us, and they're producers, they're musicians, and it's just incredible the number of people I've met. And one of the persons I did meet was Dr. Gerald Chevin. He is, in fact, a recording engineer. He's retired now. But it's not who he recorded in the 60s. It's who he didn't record in the 60s. And we had a sort of small conversation about this by email the day. And I said to him about your book. And he said, yeah, he's getting a copy, he told me. I thought, because let's list the places we can sort of include from the United Kingdom. In fact, quite a few places did come up. It wasn't as bad as I thought. So you never know. Somebody might try and think about doing a book. Getting back to your sort of photographic.
Well, you know what? If Abbey Road calls me and says, would you like to photograph the studios, I'll go.
Yeah, okay. I had a feeling that was the first name that probably come into your head. And I thought of the Roundhouse and the Cavern, you know.
Many. There's so many places.
Yeah. The Marquee Club, you know, Ronnie Scott's and all those sort of places. Now, one of the fascinating places that you must have really had a lot of feeling from, a lot of energy from, was Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles.
It's like kind of the parallel of CBGB's in a certain way.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Different time, but the whiskey is still operating, so I didn't have a lot of time. I wasn't in the room when it was particularly empty. There were a lot of people running around. So,
well, that was in a way something good, wasn't it? Because at least you thought, wow, there's still energy here. It's still alive.
It was great. And the one thing that I want to point out is that, you know, in the 400 venues, there's really only a handful that are abandoned or derelict or don't exist anymore. Most of them are operating and most of them are thriving. A few closed during the pandemic and a few disappeared before I even got to them. But I'm thrilled that the project is not about, you know, there's a whole genre of photography photographing ruins. This is not that at all.
I know. That's one of the beautiful things about the book and the picture, because I've been looking through the pictures and I can sense that, you know, they still exist, you know, they're still going. And obviously the ones that aren't, I mean, as you say, we know why. The Kansas City and CBGB's in New York, the whole city's changed in that respect. But that period going up to the Ramones, I mean, musically was just astonishing. And you've been able to capture it in this, it's not just pictures, it's a living memory, a living memorial of the past venues and studios that may not be still operating, but you say most of them are, which is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Electric Lady was maybe the second or the third photograph that I made in the series, and, you know, who am I to ask for permission to photograph Electric Lady, much less Madison Square Garden? And Lee Foster, who had just started working there, took a chance and allowed me to come in. And he left me alone in Jimmy's studio and showed me how to work the lights. I'll be grateful to him forever. And I made, you know, the second or the third photograph. And there I am looking at these, you know, and now Electric Lady is, I think, if not the most book studio in the United States. It's certainly
it
one
is.
Of them.
Yeah, well, that's one of the opening track I played, of course, Bowie's Fame, was actually recorded there.
But even now, contemporary artists are using it all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's marvelous. I'm thrilled to know this.
Yeah. I have to say, Rona, it's been a real pleasure talking to you this afternoon. I mean, I've got lots of questions to ask you, but obviously time is our problem here. We have to sort of wrap it up fairly soon. But now you're in Paris with the book, and you must have had a tremendous feeling of excitement since it was published, and a lot of talk about the book. And what is it that in your photographic career that you've done, apart from this book, that sort of gives you a feeling of achievement?
It's actually not what I've done. It's what I have upcoming, which is
yes.
a museum survey. I have a large exhibition coming up in September of 2023 at the Whelan Museum in New York State. Mm-hmm. Really, really excited about it. I just can't wait.
So. You're a busy lady, aren't you?
I hope. What's the alternative, right?
It's incredible.
Alan, I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you for inviting me, and it's such a joy to speak with you and see you.
It's been my pleasure. And just to let the listeners know that we actually did meet on one of our sort of weekend, it's called Mainly Man Wild Women Record Club. And it's run by a good friend of mine, Paul, who's known Laura for all most of her life. I mean, they knew her back in New York.
Paul Rodner was the drummer for the Mumps.
And he was the drummer for the Mumps, yeah. He's actually spoken to into the studio here. Paul was interviewed by Giles about the issue of that special Mumps CD a few months ago. And as of course Michael Largo has also spoken to Giles here, and as you know from his book that Laura wrote with him. And so it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and as I say, I've learned a lot about the venues of CBGB's and Max's Kansas City in New York, and I thought to parting the ways, I thought I'd bring up a track which you may recognise from Wayne County, which of course is called Max's Kansas City. And I'm going to play other tracks from the playlist that Anton put together, and I wish you much success with this book and in the future. And I remind our listeners, if you're interested in this book, I do recommend it. You can go to Amazon, you can go to our bookstore and check it out in there, but you can get it through Amazon.com or Amazon.es or Amazon.co.uk. And it might take a few weeks to get to you, but I think mine's going to arrive tomorrow morning, I suppose.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure. Say Amazon.com.co.uk or Amazon.es, you'll find the book. It's called Listen, simple as that. You'll instantly recognize it. And it's a real pleasure and a real joy. Rona, much success to you, and congratulations on the success of the book, and I wish you very, very much a happy time in Paris. Enjoy Paris and enjoy the atmosphere there, and we'll obviously have a few more photographs of that when we get a chance. And once again, we'll probably meet up again on the Record Club sometime in the near future.
Saturday. Thank you, Alan. My best to Laura.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to play out then with Max's Kansas City from Wayne County. And here we go. Let's try that. There it is. Cheers, Rona. All the best to you. Bye-bye.